Today on the Steve Holcim Show, we may soon see 10,000 more troops heading to the Middle East as the Iran war shows no signs of coming to an end. We may soon see TSA workers getting paid again. President Trump and the Senate are rolling up their sleeves in different ways. And we may soon see local school districts all around the country running out of gas money. Yeah, diesel fuel is up more than a buck over the last month, and it's not going well for some. We'll talk about those stories and more coming up today on the Steve Holcim Show. Thank you, my friend, for hanging out with me. Great to be here with you on what I would like to say is a beautiful Friday morning, but it's gray and snowing. Although it's kind of a pretty snow. It's not real windy right now. Looks a little bit like a snow globe, but there's not a lot of snow in the globe. It's just some light snow falling right now. I guess this is what we get this time of year. Hope that things are good with you wherever you're at. I was taught long ago that you cannot define a day by its weather. And so we will remember that here on a gray and gloomy Friday morning, at least with the weather. And hope that you are having a great day wherever you are at, whether your day is just starting, if it's almost done, halfway in between. Thanks for being with me here today on the show. Got a lot of ground to cover on the program, as we always do. It's amazing how many new things happen or we learn about things for the first time over the 22 hours since we left you last, 11 a.m. yesterday, and it's certainly true today. So we've got a lot of things to tell you about, some new information coming to light, and some new sights, sounds, experiences that we can tell you about here on the program today. None more so than our guy Scott Henin. He's in D.C. today for Ag Day at the White House. He's been sending me photos of people in the room that he is in right now. And it looks like right now, as of 9:07 a.m., so I guess a minute ago, that Scott was about 15 feet from J.D. Vance as he was at a table visiting with some people. Scott is in the room right now with RFK Jr., Scott Bessent, Brooke Rollins, and somebody else who's got his head kind of buried by a piece of paper or a folder. So Nick Shirley is there today at Ag Day in the White House. I'm not sure exactly Nick Shirley, Ag Day. Scott has already had a chance to talk to Peter Ducey from Fox News Channel. Only Scotty. Only our guy Scotty. So we're going to try to catch up with him in about a half hour. He is in a forum of bigwigs, and we think Scotty's a bigwig, but he's not the biggest wig in the room for sure. But they're talking about how important agriculture is and some of the biofuels topics that are making headlines. So we're going to try to catch Scott today here in about a half hour, see if we can get the lowdown from him on what's happening and why they want it. He got an invitation, along with some of these other bigwigs, to come to D.C., to the White House, to talk about these things. So I don't know, Addison, when's the last time you got a call from the White House saying, hey, can you get here? We got a thing going on.
Oh, you know, it's been a while for sure. It's not something that happens too recently to me.
I'm with you on that, yeah. So it's fun to hear the stories, though, that's for sure. All right, let's get to it here. Time of the morning wire. And these are what I believe to be the most important things going on in the world right now. Rapid-fire storylines, semi-automatic storylines, you might even call it. For those of you with short attention spans, including the host of the program. So let's get to it here today with the things that you need to know. We will start on the almanac side of things by telling you we will gain 3 minutes and 21 seconds of daylight today. Sunset in Fargo, 7:49, almost 8 o'clock now by the time the sun is setting. Oh boy, if you got money in the market today, doesn't look like it's shaping up to be a good day. From what I can tell, the traders, the economists, kind of everybody feeling like this war in Iran shows no signs of ending. And I think the stock market does not like that. I think Monday, if it feels like it's going to be ending, we could see a very different story. But right now, the Dow is down 458, S&P 500 down 60, NASDAQ down 275. That's between 1 and 1.5% on all of those indices. So not looking good in the markets this morning. WTI crude oil today, up another $2.97.68. We've seen that very consistently all week long. If the stock market has gone up, that means oil has gone down and vice versa. I guess when a war looks like it's going to continue, oil goes up and stocks go down and the other way around when it looks like it might be coming to an end. There was that one day, Tuesday, this week, when it looked like everybody thought, oh, looks like it's going to come to an end. And it was a wonderful day in the markets. Since then, not so much. Gold today, up $53 an ounce at $4,429. Silver, up 19 cents at $68.12. And Bitcoin, down about $4,000 today. No bueno. $66,279. That's at some lows over the last couple of months. AAA says average price of a gallon of regular unleaded gas nationwide today is sitting right at $2.99 a gallon. So we're $3.99 a gallon. So we're continuing to trickle upwards there. We're over $3 a gallon now. In Fargo, Moorhead, West Fargo. No doubt about that. All right, what's going on in the news cycle today? Lots of stuff to tell you about. Going to get to as many of these stories as I can here in the next 5 minutes. President Trump says he has extended his deadline for Iran to reopen the Strait of Hormuz because negotiations to end the war are, quote, going very well. Iran is denying any talks with the president and showing no signs of Tehran, reports CBS News, easing its blockade of the shipping lane. That means oil prices are climbing and stock values are falling again. The Pentagon, meanwhile, is considering sending 10,000 additional troops to the Middle East as epic fury rages on. A senior U.S. defense official told The Wall Street Journal this would be in addition to the 1,500 troops being mobilized already from the 82nd Airborne. The Senate earlier today, this is like 2 in the morning earlier today, unanimously approved funding for most of the Department of Homeland Security. The exceptions were ICE and Border Protection, which are already funded differently. The measure now heads to the House for approval. Some people in the House are not happy about how this is going, and they say that they're doing only half a job and we're going to do the whole thing or nothing else. I saw Byron Donalds on with Maria Bartiromo this morning. I love Byron Donalds. That guy's a dude, and he's a smart dude, tells it like it is, and kind of one of those guys that just doesn't put up with idiots, and I like that. President Trump, by the way, says if Congress can't get it done, he will offer to get TSA pay done through executive order. So one way or another, looks like the TSA agents are going to get paid here coming up real soon. This is story of the day. I'll give you all the details on this one in just a few minutes. Cass County Sheriff Jesse Johnner is pushing back on responsibility for alerting Fargo police that Angela Lips was in his jail. Valley News Live reports that Johnner says his office was not responsible for notifying investigators about the Tennessee grandmother. Lips, who was wrongly identified by facial recognition technology as a bank fraud suspect, spent 5 months in jail. Fargo police said they didn't know Lips was in custody until December 5th, but Valley News Live obtained an email showing six Fargo detectives were notified of her arrest in July, about 5 months earlier. Michael Diedrich reports the forum was sentenced to 24 and a half years in jail yesterday for the fatal stabbing of 22-year-old Ethan Larson outside Fargo's Southtown Poorhouse Bar in March of 2024. Emotional sentencing hearing yesterday in Cass County District Court. Impact statements from several members of Larson's family. The 29-year-old Diedrich entered an offered plea in January to avoid trial. He appeared visibly moved during the testimony, at times bowing his head and wiping away tears. The sentence handed down by Judge Reed Brady includes 40 years in jail with 15 and a half years suspended. Higher gas prices mean school districts in North Dakota are getting hit with big increases in diesel fuel for buses. Diesel fuel has risen more than $1.30 a gallon in the last month. The Forum reports that the Central Cass School District has already surpassed its gas budget for 2026. It can cost more than $200 to fill up a bus, and some routes cover more than 500 miles a day. The Fargo Memorial Honor Guard is inviting you to attend a committal service today for an unclaimed veteran at Fargo National Cemetery. Isn't that sad that there's a term called an unclaimed veteran? Susan Benson served in the Marine Corps as a private for 2 years between 1958 and 1960. The service is scheduled for 11 a.m. today at Fargo's National Cemetery. Organizers say community members are welcome to attend to help ensure Benson is laid to rest with military honors. I wanted to know more about this woman, so I did a little digging. More on that coming up later in the show. And the city of Moorhead announced The Loop will open on Saturday, April 18th. This will be the place for the new Lake Agassiz Regional Library, community center, children's play space, and a presentation hall. The groundbreaking ribbon cutting will be on Wednesday, April 8th. So getting that done over in Moorhead. When we return on the Steve Hallstrom Show, story of the day. TSA agents are going to get paid, it looks like, sooner rather than later, one way or another. We'll tell you about both avenues that are being pursued when we come back. All right, the big night coming up tomorrow. Stacey Manning is going to be in town at Capstone Classical Academy. If you don't have plans for tomorrow night, even if you don't have kids, which a lot of this whole event is built around, there's going to be some great information to take in just to be able to move through conversations well. And a lot of times that's nice. When, look, okay, I kind of know a few things, but it's nice to have a little inspiration here. Well, you're going to get that coming up tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, Capstone Classical Academy here in Fargo. If you have ever felt overwhelmed raising kids in today's woke, ever-changing world, and have felt unsure about how to answer tough questions or just bring up tough conversations about culture, identity, and values, well, we hope that you'll come out tomorrow night to hear Stacey. She wrote a book called Raising a Conservative Kid in a Woke City, and she's going to give us all some practical tools and confidence to have thoughtful, age-appropriate conversations with our kids and grandkids. There's a VIP meet and greet at 6 o'clock. Program starts at 7. Tickets start at just $25. Get them now if you're thinking about going, because if you are planning on going tomorrow and getting them at the door, you'll pay $5 more per ticket. So get a hold of them now. Super easy to do. You get them right on your phone. It'll be super slick to go ahead and take care of it right as you're getting there. Then yesterday, you just kind of swipe that the code that you get on the phone and easy peasy. Get them now at am1100theflag.com. That's am1100theflag.com. All right, I want to talk about what I think is the story of the day, and this is getting to be a big problem. Every day there are more and more TSA agents that are what they say calling out, basically calling in sick. I'm not coming to work today. I'm not getting paid. Why am I going to show up? There's no chance of me losing my job. Look, I get all that. A lot of those people have been going without a paycheck now for about a month or so as the federal government shutdown drags on. So President Trump says, this is ridiculous. If Congress can't get this done, I'm going to try to do something through executive order to get the TSA agents paid so we can get more people back to work. So there's two efforts that are going on, one by the president and one by the Senate. I'm going to start with the president. Donald Trump announced yesterday on his social media platform that he's going to sign an executive order that instructs the new guy on the block, Mark Wayne Mullen, the Homeland Security Secretary, to pay TSA workers immediately, saying it's an emergency situation. The president has the authority to act in situations like this. President mentioned this at the cabinet meeting yesterday. At that time, he didn't come out and say it, but he said at that time he might have to take drastic measures unless the shutdown ended soon. And apparently something happened late yesterday that convinced him that the shutdown was not going to end soon. ABC News says the president is issuing the order under the emergency powers. Some have questioned the legality of this. Of course, you knew that they were going to talk about that. And that Congress is typically the people who direct federal funding. And the president says, look, in times of emergency, we got to make some things happen there. So according to a White House official, the TSA officers will be paid using money already approved by Congress through the president's domestic policy bill that was signed last summer. One big beautiful bill money that can be used for this. During the last government shutdown in the fall, CBS News reports the Trump administration also shifted funds around to keep some payments going. For example, Trump ordered Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth to use all available funds to pay some 2 million service members. The Pentagon later clarified that the money, about $8 billion, came out of the Department of Defense's research, development, and testing budget. The funds were unobligated from the past fiscal year. Okay, well, that makes sense to me, right? I mean, let's not worry so much about, well, this money technically is a, look, is it against the law? No. All right, then let's do it, right? But government is full of icebergs that just don't move very fast or change directions very often. So in light of all this, the Senate, U.S. Senate, early this morning, like about 2 a.m., unanimously approved funding for most of the Department of Homeland Security. The exceptions were for Immigrations and Customs Enforcement and parts of Customs and Border Protection. The measure now heads to the House for approval. I have, in my reading on this, I can't tell you if this was part of another bill or if this was something fresh that they just created last night to get through. I don't exactly know how they did it, but anyway, they did it. So it now heads over to the House for the folks on that side to take a look at it there. Senators have been, as you know, under the most pressure here of anybody in Congress with the Save America Act and with the spending measures as well here. And we've got this kind of chaos going on at the airports because of that. As you know, TSA officers are not being paid during the partial government shutdown. You've probably heard, like I have, some of the testimony now being given by people in TSA. And look, most of them are still showing up and going to work, even though they haven't been paid for a month. But you're starting to hear people now saying, hey, look, I've used my credit cards are maxed out and I just don't have any money. I'm not sure how I'm going to be able to do this. So, yes, I'm calling in sick or whatever they're doing, just saying I'm not coming into work today. So I can go work at the temp agency and get some money by the end of the day. So I get all that. If I'm in government, I guess I probably have a spare credit card sitting around that I don't use for anything else or some set-aside money, because you're going to get paid sooner or later, but it just seems to be taking forever here. The president said he would also issue an executive order to immediately pay the officers who have gone without full pay for more than a month. Majority Leader John Thune says the decision had removed the immediate pressure to reach a deal. So the lines are still fairly long, and while the ICE agents are helping, when you got more and more people calling out all the time, you still have problems. Now, in the middle of the week, we saw that wait times at checkpoints were down by about 50%. And I gave you a list of, I don't know, six or seven airports where we had the actual data on that, and it looked pretty good. But Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday travel is not Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday travel. So we will have to see how things look going forward on this one here. But that is the story coming from TSA, president, and the Senate trying to get something done. And, of course, this is the food fight going on where Democrats and Republicans are saying, no, this is your fault. No, this is your fault. But we still have a partial government shutdown because we cannot get the funding taken care of on this one. All right. Other news stories that almost made the story of the day here. The United States can continue to detain immigrants without bond, ruled an appeals court yesterday, handing a victory to President Trump on immigration. It's the 8th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in St. Louis overturning a lower court ruling. It's the second appeals court to rule in favor of the administration on this issue. So why do we have to keep having people saying no when appeals courts say, yeah, actually you can? And Gallup reports that 54% of U.S. adults now say that they are, only 54% of U.S. adults say they are occasional drinkers of alcohol. That's a record low in 90 years of tracking. 53% of Americans even believe moderate drinking is unhealthy, and this is a major shift among young adults. Only half of those aged 18 to 34 report alcohol consumption. Coming to you live from the Drive with Vision studio, drivewithvision.com. That's Vision Ford Lincoln in Wahpeton. 15 minutes or less to buy a new or really nice pre-owned set of wheels. Vision Ford Lincoln in Wahpeton. The good folks at Americans for Prosperity want to remind you that the state of North Dakota gets paid before your family does, taking a cut of your hard-earned money before you ever see it. That's why they are fighting to eliminate the state income tax entirely. It's time to put you back in control of every dollar you earn. No more letting the government take its cut first. You deserve the freedom to prioritize your family's future, not the state's budget. Nine other states have already eliminated their state income tax to attract jobs and families. It's time for North Dakota to do the same. Let's make North Dakota the clear choice for families and businesses. by letting you actually keep what you earn. Visit AFPND.org to learn more and join the movement. That's AFPND.org. Please be joined on the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line right now by Cass County Sheriff Jesse Johnner. Jesse, always good to take a few minutes with us when we call and ask a question about what's going on in the world today. And Jesse, thanks for being here with me, my man. How are you doing this morning?
Absolutely, Steve. Thanks for having me on. I'm doing well. How about you?
Yeah, great. I think that we are all well served in this community when we get clarity on situations that seem kind of confusing. And I am confused, and I hope you can help me out with this. I have to admit to you, Jesse, that I've not seen every detail of this story and all the reporting about Angela Lips, the Tennessee grandma who spent 5 months in jail, and it turns out it was a mistake. And Fargo police has admitted now that they should have done what West Fargo has done and used different/better technology to figure it all out. What I'm confused about is I'm hearing and reading comments from yourself and Pete Nielsen, the West Fargo police chief, that indicate to me like there's some frustration between agencies, and that worries me because we need law enforcement to be working really well across boundaries. West Fargo and Fargo need to work together. Cass County Sheriff and Fargo need to work together. You said on the Jay Thomas show a couple of days ago, and when I reached out to you, I said, I saw something, I couldn't find it, I did find it. Your comment to Jay Thomas on his show that we heard here a couple days ago was this, quote, what everybody's probably looking for is for Chief Zabolski and Fargo to take responsibility for it, and let's just move on. Let's figure out if there's anything we can do to get better, but it doesn't do any good to throw or place blame on any other agencies. Can you expand a little bit about what you meant?
Yeah, absolutely. So first off, Steve, to a couple of your comments, obviously we're very fortunate in this area because all of our law enforcement agencies get along extremely well. And I know sometimes people think that might be a little weird, but I've had an opportunity to train with a number of law enforcement agencies across the country. And there are some parts of the country where law enforcement agencies don't get along with each other. That's always been confusing to me. And I haven't always understood, that concept or that idea. So we're very lucky here. All of our agencies get along well. And I think that will most certainly continue. I mean, all of our agencies are professional. And for example, you know, my number one objective in my position is to make sure that no matter what is occurring, that all of our law enforcement agencies work together to provide a high level of public safety to our citizens, because that's really, what's important, and that's what our citizens expect of us, and we're always going to do that. We're going to be professional in that manner and not let things get in between or stop that effort. But this situation, yes, it did get frustrating. I mean, this doesn't have anything to do with the Cass County Sheriff's Office as far as any casework. We're not involved in this case. No one from our agency was aware of Ms. Lips prior to the Fargo Police Department's investigation and the warrant being cut and that individual being brought to our facility. And so there has been, I feel, maybe some direction towards our agency that, you know, maybe we should have let Fargo know that this individual was in our jail and maybe she wouldn't have sat so long. That type of information, that's where I think we're getting into some areas of some blaming. There was some mention that we need to figure out a better system. These systems are already in place. This was a Fargo Police Department investigation. Again, it has nothing to do with the Cass County Sheriff's Office. We're not involved in their investigation. As the sheriff, I just simply oversee the jail. This person was brought to our jail. We book in over the last 2 years approximately 12,444 people, and we've released 12,492. That is an exceptional amount of people. Our staff do not know everyone that comes in and out of our jail and their circumstances. And I know people might think, well, that's strange. You're the sheriff. You don't know who's in your facility. No, I don't know all 12,000 of those people. They come in under circumstances, under warrants from different agencies, different entities from the court. And our job is to simply house them and do a professional job in doing that. So there isn't anyone at the jail that was aware of Ms. Lip's circumstance to let anyone know. That is the sole responsibility of the Fargo Police Department. And so as we talk this morning, it's my duty, my job as the Cass County Sheriff to make sure that our staff is protected in some of the direction that's been pointed at us. And at the end of the day, the sole responsibility for this lies with the Fargo Police Department. And I've had to take a number of questions on this. It has nothing to do with us.
Okay.
So that's where the frustration lies.
Okay, got it. So help me, those of us that don't see that process, help me and us understand this. So someone brings someone to the Cass County Jail, and I would think that if it's Fargo Police's investigation, that they would be the ones bringing Ms. Lips to your jail. But that maybe didn't happen in this case. Otherwise, they would have obviously known that she was being brought to the jail. So what am I missing?
Yep. So the process is this. So Fargo Police Department conducts their investigation, and they try to work to a level of developing probable cause. If they feel that they have that, they present that information to the Cass County State's Attorney's Office. The State's Attorney's Office would then review that investigation, that information, that evidence. And if they feel that there's enough, they would then proceed with moving forward with charges on that person. Then if charges were brought forward, then the judge would have to sign off and cut a warrant for that person. At that time, once the warrant is cut, then this person has an active warrant. In this case, it's a nationwide extradition warrant. Ms. Lips does not reside in this area, or didn't at the time, and law enforcement had come across her in Tennessee. So when they came across her, obviously she has this warrant out of Cass County. So she's arrested on the nationwide extradition warrant that was issued out of our county, right? Again, nothing to do with the Cass County Sheriff's Office at this point.
Yep.
Okay, so now there's a nationwide extradition warrant. When that happens, that came down from district court, right, because it's felony level. The city of Fargo does not have a court that oversees felonies. It's the district court. We, as the sheriff's office, carry out district court orders. In this case, a warrant, arrest warrant, district court order. So when that individual got arrested in Tennessee, Ms. Lips in this case, Tennessee then notifies Cass County and tells us that, hey, this person's got a warrant out of Cass County. At that point, then, if it's extraditable, then that person would have to waive extradition in Tennessee. And once that's waived, then we, the sheriff's office, will go grab that person and bring the person back on that Cass County warrant. Although it's Fargo's case, the warrant was issued through Cass County court. So that's why it's a Cass County warrant, because it's a felony level warrant, right? And that has to come through Cass County court. So our job as the sheriff's office is to extradite people back here. But again, we're not going to know the circumstances of their case. We're just told, hey, this person was arrested. They've got this warrant out of Cass County, and can your office go grab them and extradite them back?
Sure.
We did that. We brought them back. And when that person was brought back, our support staff, our warrant support staff, sent a message to the U.S. Marshals Fugitive Task Force, because that's who was helping to work to extradite this person back here with our office. And so in that notification, there are Fargo officers that are included in that email. And that was sent out on July 14th. So there were Fargo staff that knew that this person was arrested, got the email sitting right in front of me right now. And so then they're brought back to our jail. Yeah. And they're brought back to our jail again. When our staff at the jail booked them in, they don't know the circumstance of the case. They just booked this person in under the warrant, and they're, you know, my deputies that are over the jail, their job is just to maintain the security of the jail. I don't have extras, you know, four or five extra people that can look through every single case that comes into the jail, and it's not our responsibility.
No, it makes sense, Jesse. Yeah, it makes sense. You've got a process, and the process works, but people can miss emails, right? I mean, these things happen, but if Fargo Police is saying they didn't know that she was in the jail for 5 months, then it's just somebody missed an email, basically.
Yeah, and then I'd like to continue with a few other things here, because there are a few other things in place, right? Because some people might ask, well, we need a better process. Well, then I'm aware of another email that so Fargo Police Department grabs our booking report, and that includes everyone that's booked into the Cass County Jail and the new arrivals. And they sent out a booking report to all of their staff on October 31st. That's at 702 indicating that, or sending out this booking report, and Ms. Lips is listed in the booking report. This went out to all their staff. So again, now on October 30th, there's been another email sent out to their staff with Ms. Lips on there. I've got that right in front of me. And then there's also a process through our law enforcement records management system. That's called the watch list. And all agencies in this area have this record. We share it. It's a shared record management system with Clay County, Moorhead, Fargo, West Fargo, our office, everyone in Cass County. That's how we do computer-aided dispatch. And if an investigator is interested in someone, when law enforcement comes into contact with them, they can flag that person's jacket, and then that investigator would get notified that this person, in this case, would have came to our jail. That wasn't done, obviously, or if it was, that person missed it.
Yeah.
And our detectives do that all the time. So, in short, Steve, you know, I feel like we've taken on some blame for this, and in reality, it doesn't have anything to do with our office. And we just, you know, we want to make sure that, or I want to make sure that our staff, you know, is properly represented here in the professionalism of our agency.
Yeah.
We want to work with all agencies. But again, at the end of the day, this was the initiating agency's investigative responsibility to make sure that they were able to come into contact with Ms. Lips.
Makes sense. Well, and you just outlined it really well. You know, three different points of contact are there in the system that's in process already. Jesse, thanks a lot for taking the time. Great information, good perspective. We appreciate you doing this.
Absolutely. Thank you, Steve.
Take care. Thanks so much, Jesse.
Yep.
All right.
Yep.
Well, we're going to give a call to Scotty, try to check into the White House, see what's going on there coming up next. Well, you know, there's a lot of times on this show when we have an interview and we cover a range of topics or we get pretty deep into the weeds and something, and I try to boil it down at the end and say, okay, what did we hear? And try to interpret, summarize, bring out the key points. I don't feel like I need to do that with Jesse's interview. He's been pretty clear about where he has stood on this whole thing, feeling like from the very beginning on this whole story that he has been thrown under the bus a little bit here. And, you know, the quote that he made on Jay Thomas's show, it doesn't do any good to place blame on any other agencies. We're just looking for Chief Cebulski and Fargo to take responsibility for this, and let's just move on. And he said then three different times there were points at which information was provided to Fargo police. They just missed it. So Jesse feels like we're being thrown under the bus when we did our job like three times and executed as we were supposed to each time. So that was, I thought, a really good chat, and we appreciate Jesse's time. I'm going to try to get Pete Nielsen on as well. He's had some pointed comments about this as well. All right, we are going to head out to Washington, D.C. Our guy Scotty Henin is at the White House today for a big celebration of agriculture. Scotty, tell us what's been going on. I've seen some pictures. I like what I'm seeing so far. Looks like you're having a good time out there.
Back today with 1,000 farmers, 1,000 farmers from across the country. Think about that. Going to be neat. That's going to start about, it's scheduled to start, I should say, at 11:30. If so, we'll have it on What's on Your Mind, but they're usually a little bit late. But yeah, I'm in the press briefing room waiting for that to begin. They pulled us into an event with the vice president. The fraud task force has officially been kicked off. So that was interesting. About half the cabinet was there. They're getting serious about it. Nick Shirley was there as well. And, talking a lot about what's happened in Minnesota and now doing a whole of government approach into California and other places on fraud. So it's good to see the vice president at that event. And of course, I'm on the hunt for farmers that might be here from North Dakota, Minnesota, South Dakota, anywhere in our audience. I just found out TJ Hall is here, potato farmer from up by Hoople. And we've talked to a couple of farmers already and looking for more. Funny story, Steve, I was on a plane yesterday at Minneapolis, D.C., and you can tell farmers, right? A couple of seed caps. And, you know, I reached a guy was walking down the aisle. I was seated already. And I said, "You going to the White House?" He said, "Absolutely." I said, "Where are you from?" "Central North Dakota." I'm like, "All right, I picked the right guy to ask." So we're talking to a lot of farmers here. And it's just really exciting to have a White House, a president that celebrates American agriculture. So it'll be an exciting day for sure.
Is your sense, Scott, that farmers are still supportive of the president like they were when he began his second term? We hear about, you know, rising fuel prices, so diesel's going to be higher, fertilizer not getting through the strait is higher. Do you sense that there's still that same kind of support among farmers for the president and his policies?
Absolutely. And don't forget, he's fighting big time on trade deals, right? So there have been bridge payments. I don't think the farmers, most of them, like bridge payments, but they'll take it to live to fight another day and buy down some debt. But no, there's enormous support for the president, and he not only vocally has been pro-ag, he's fought in the first term and now at least one bridge payment to make up the difference on these tariffs. I shouldn't say make up the difference, at least, you know, go a little while. I had a farmer friend yesterday tell me, we don't need a cup of water, we need the well in agriculture right now. So, but that comes with the trade deals, I think, as they keep going. There are rumors today that they'll announce some things related to ethanol that'll help on demand, as well as possibly another bridge payment. So, no, I don't think there's any, again, the tariffs are taking time. The President Xi meeting related to the trade deal with China got pushed back because of the conflict in Iran. So that's not happening till the middle of May now. So those are, you know, and don't forget, the Biden years and inflation is when farmers really started having a hard time. Input costs up, price of commodities down. So this is really a 4 or 5 year pain point that President Trump's trying to fix.
Yeah, very good. All right, Scotty, I know that times are tight there as far as trying to get from one place to the other. So thanks for making a couple minutes for us. We'll let you get back to her. And thanks for representing us so well as you always do when you're on the road at these things. Appreciate you, buddy.
Absolutely. Just want to give a quick plug for our sponsors that make these broadcasts possible. It's the only way. At Flag Press says you go ahead and go to the White House. Mark Wagner, ND Estate Services. Give Mark a call, 701-318-0908. Don't procrastinate. 701-318-0908. North Dakota Ethanol Council helps you pay less at the pump. Big announcement yesterday, E15, 20 to 40 cents less a gallon when you fill up with E15. Just announced that yesterday, big boost for farmers. And Landmark Companies, a trusted expert in agriculture drainage.
Very good, sir. Thank you, Scott. Safe travels. Have a good day, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks.
All right. Scott Hannon, the What's On Your Mind coming up later today here on the Flag. Okay. Want to let you know that we have now the final person in the lineup for the main stage at Minot's North Dakota State Fair, Zed. I'd never heard of Zed. He's going to put on an EDM show on Friday, July 24th. EDM might sound like something you don't want your kids doing on the weekend. It's really just techno dance DJ stuff. Addison's probably a big fan of the EDM. So also performing at the fair are T.I. with DaBaby, Alex Warren, Jesse Murphy, and Nico Moon. I cannot remember ever being this, I don't know what you might call it, indifferent, maybe the best way to say it, as I am about the start of the Twins season this year. Twins lost 2-1 yesterday in the season opener. I didn't throw on a spring training game on TV. I haven't looked at a news article. I honestly didn't even kind of know when they were going to be starting their season. Man, in past years, we took a whole bunch of us down here from the station for opening day and excitement of the new season. And, oh, boy, yesterday's game, I don't think it's going to fix any of that. Twins lose 2-1. They had just a handful of hits. They wasted a great pitching performance by their starter, Joe Ryan. And the only run they got was on a sacrifice fly. They lose 2-1. And Twins are 0-1. I look through the list of guys, and I tend to follow sports fairly well. And even if I'm not paying a lot of attention during the season, I typically know the names in the lineup. I knew like four guys in that whole batting lineup, and the rest of them, like, whatever. And then I heard somebody talking about the Dodgers yesterday and their lineup, and it's like an all-star team. Like, I'm not a big baseball fan, but I heard of, like, all those guys. So, Twins are 0-1. They're off today. They always do that. They play a game, then wait a day to play again. I don't know why they do that. Maybe they're just trying to make sure that the weather doesn't creep in and mess things up. So, I don't know. They're going to be in Baltimore again to finish the weekend there. So, Go Twins. Yeah. I was just given two tickets for the show tomorrow night for Raising a Conservative Kid in a Woke City. Stacey Manning at Capstone Classical Academy. I've been talking about it all week. And you're going to really love Stacey if you've not heard her speak before. And she's going to give us some great perspective, how to raise the right conversations with our kids. And I'm going to give these tickets away because I know that I can kind of sneak in the back door. So 701-271-1100, I'll take caller number three, and you get two tickets free, $50 value, to Stacey Manning's chat tomorrow night at Capstone Classical Academy. Tickets, if you want to, these are the last ones. I don't have any more, so we're done. And I don't think, I don't know. Scott might have a couple more today, but I don't think so. I would give a call and get them now. They're going to be $5 more at the door. So go to am1100theflag.com. Tickets start at just $25. VIP meet and greet at 6 o'clock tomorrow night. Program at 7 at Capstone. Emailer Dan sends a note in, kind of following up on the conversation we had with Jesse Johnner. He says, Steve, one thing I've learned about good leaders is they take the blame. They don't point fingers. No bus is needed to throw somebody under. Then the process that led to a failure is looked at. If the system works, if everyone does their job, leave it alone. You don't create a more complicated system or ask anyone in another organization to change what they do to make your organization's system foolproof. This is so wise. And I love the second part of that. This happens all the time, right? Somebody, whether they screwed up or whether they just aren't very good at their job, says, oh, yeah, the process, we're going to have to change the process because, if I got it wrong, you know, that's clearly it's a process that doesn't work. Well, good leaders say, okay, first of all, we're going to make sure that we don't drop the ball. And I don't know. I'm just going by what I'm hearing. It sounds like there is more people on the side of Fargo PD did not do their job. West Fargo, Cass County Sheriffs did theirs. That's my gut feel. I don't know, but that's my gut feel on this one. So let's not create more bureaucracy. Let's not have more bloat. Let's not hire another administrator of communication services to be talking back and forth. Let's just say Fargo PD, sorry, you got to be a little better. If this is what, if what happened is what it sounds like, okay? Again, I want to be super clear on this because I don't want to start saying stuff I don't know. But if what we're hearing from Nielsen and Jesse, I've got no reason to doubt them, is the case, then Fargo's just got to be better at what they do. And ultimately, that does roll up to the chief. So let's be really good at what we do. And then if there is something that happens where you make a mistake, look, we all do it. So just say, we should have had a process. I thought we did. We're going to get to work on that. People will take that. They will handle that fairly well. You just can't throw other people under the bus and say, you know, we didn't know, nobody told us or whatever. Just say, hey, we got to be better here. That starts with me. So thanks, Dan. Really good points, especially the second one that you made there. Petroserve USA has got some great lunch specials for you today. The Friday deals are as follows. In Valley City and Harwood, beefy noodles. West Main, you've got Sloppy Joe's or Southern Chicken Bowl. 12th Avenue and 45th Street, cheesy tuna hot dish. You got Swedish meatballs in Yulin today. In Castleton, bacon cheeseburger hot dish or fish and chips if you're doing the Lent thing and you want to make sure you get your fish today. There you go. In Glendon and Wahpeton, Swedish meatballs. And on the Cheyenne Street store, spicy cheese sausage mac. Petroserve USA, helping America feel better. It is time for the key three. These are what I believe to be the three most consequential stories in the news cycle today. And I'm going to start with the story that says right here about the Gallup poll. I mentioned this quickly in the first hour, and I think this is really interesting because I think it tells us a lot about who we are as a country and the direction that we're going. We don't like our booze like we used to. 54% of U.S. adults say in a new Gallup poll, only 54% say they drink alcohol even occasionally, and that is a record low in 90 years of tracking. Why is this? Well, apparently people are saying that 53% of Americans are saying that even moderate drinking is unhealthy, and they're trying to live a little healthier. So it's heightened health concerns more than anything else. This is JFK stuff or RFK stuff, right? Make America healthy again. And even in the age group of 18 to 34, which typically is, you know, one of the higher demographics for alcohol consumption, only 50% say that they drink alcohol even occasionally. Isn't that something? Now, this could be, my mind starts working here and I say, okay, are more people doing drugs of some kind? You know, all the fun without the calories, I guess. I don't know. That might be part of it there. But I think these numbers are surprising. That 54%, only 54%, basically only one in two Americans say they're occasional drinkers of alcohol. I thought that was interesting. Second story, also interesting. The United States can continue to detain immigrants without bond, ruled an appeals court yesterday, handing a victory to the Trump administration's crackdown on immigration. The opinion from a panel of the 8th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in St. Louis overturned a lower court ruling, and this is the second appeals court to rule in favor of the administration on this issue. The 5th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in New Orleans ruled last month that the DHS decision to deny bond hearings was consistent with the Constitution and federal immigration law, but then an appeals court jumped in, and, well, now another court, like, seriously, this is why we have too many people suing each other, because these things never seem to die. Let's just let the president and his administration deport people in the processes that have been in place for forever. So let's allow these things to happen efficiently and not make it any harder than things have to be. So I think that's a big story going on there today. And then the final one of the three, that President Trump, according to a highly placed source within the White House, which this bothers me. I don't want highly placed sources talking to the Wall Street Journal about what we're doing militarily. This is a paragraph 10 story that, you know, paragraphs 1 through 9 read that the Pentagon is considering sending 10,000 additional troops to the Middle East as Operation Epic Fury continues against Iran. This would be in addition to the 1,500 troops that are already over there from this 82nd Airborne Division. Then down a little bit further, you read that a senior U.S. defense official told the Wall Street Journal, and I don't like this. Now, maybe the president said, hey, it's okay to leak this out, but that doesn't sound like President Trump. If he wants something to be known, I think he's going to say it, first of all. And then second of all, I think if he doesn't want it being said by somebody other than somebody in his administration, he's going to make sure that nobody's doing that. So I want to know who the senior U.S. defense official is. If we got people leaking wartime secrets, how many people we're sending where? Nobody needs to know that. I feel like in these cases, like, we shouldn't know anything. Really, Honestly, do whatever you're going to do. Tell us when the war is over, and then we'll figure out if it was good or bad. So those are the key three. Best thing I heard all day, coming up next. Coming to you live from the Drive with Vision studio, drivewithvision.com, Vision Ford Lincoln in Wahpeton. All of our guests appear courtesy of the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line. Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness has recently expanded and can get you in fast. They now offer counseling, occupational therapy, physical therapy, and a nurse practitioner. Make an appointment. Get in soon at valleychristian.co. Okay. I want to give you something that I had prepared yesterday and with the president's cabinet. And by the way, I just saw that the White House has issued an advisory saying the president is going to speak coming up soon. Scott referred to this earlier, too. But the president's going to make an announcement regarding farmers coming up today. So we're going to try to take that if that happens before the top of the hour when we turn it over to the What's on Your Mind show. So just want you to know we are watching for that. I think it's the E15, the biofuels thing, but maybe there's something more than that. We will see. But anyway, the with the cabinet meeting yesterday, we want to take as much of that because there's so much going on right now. The best thing I heard all day is actually best thing I heard all day 2 days ago. So that's a mouthful, but there you go. I want to go back actually a couple days earlier when this happened for the first time. This was on Monday. So all this stems from a Monday hearing in the Minnesota State Legislature. The Minnesota Fraud Prevention and State Agency Oversight Committee. Yes, there is such a thing. It's chaired by Kristen Robbins, the state rep who's running for governor, brought this to light. And the concern that she is talking about here is that IP addresses, so basically the ID system that identifies what's the location of the computer that is doing something. So these IP addresses for some computer-based fraudulent loan applications. Remember, we've had all this stuff in Minnesota about Medicare, Medicaid, autism, whatever. But all of these applications for state money were not being adequately flagged or traced to where these requests were coming from. Like, seriously, isn't this the first thing you would do if you built a secure system? And Robbins has been talking for weeks about this contributing to big losses in state-administered programs. So all this money going out the door. I want to play for you a social media video from State Representative Krista Knutson. She is a Republican from the Bemidji area, and she's going to give you a quick rundown on this, and then she's going to turn it over to their expert witness on this fraud committee, and this is the newly appointed Director of Program Integrity. His name is Tim O'Malley, and the most stunning piece of this comes from his. This whole thing runs about 3 minutes and 10 seconds. I don't think it will be hard to focus for this 3 minutes and 10 seconds because this is really good. So first, State Representative Krista Knutson talking about the problem, and then you're hearing from the expert testimony come from Tim O'Malley.
I'm Minnesota State Representative Krista Knutson. Every time we turn around, it's just more and more fraud scandals in our state. Today, in the fraud committee, the Department of Human Services testified that they haven't been tracking the IP addresses of money that's being literally flown out of our state.
Okay, I'm just going to stop right there. I could end this whole segment right there. We have not been tracking the IP addresses of the people who are requesting money from the state for these grants and applications. They might be from Minneapolis, they might be from Duluth, but they might be from Timbuktu.
And where it's going. They did turn on that reporting for 2 weeks, and they found that, yes, a lot of those IP addresses were tied to overseas computers.
Okay, it gets better. Tied to overseas computers. They turned this functionality on for 2 weeks, found that, yes, money was coming from overseas computers, and then they turned that sort of spotlight back off again.
And then they quickly shut it off after just 2 weeks of seeing where this money is actually going. It's crazy, but listen for yourself.
DHS billed or paid these daycares through, I believe it was the MEC squared billing system. And we discovered when we wanted to find out who was billing and where they were billing from, that the MEC squared system was not designed to include IP numbers. It's a major oversight. It'd be like buying a brand new car that didn't have brakes. It's a basic in computer systems. You ask any computer person out there, your home router has IP address tracking on it. This system did not. So that told us we weren't able to tell who was billing, when they were billing, or where they were billing from. So we went to, Jay and I went to Minute, the state's IT department, and we said, look, we had this is the email that was part I just read to you. And we said, we need these IP addresses. Well, we don't really have that, and it's impossible to do that. we need to do that. So after some negotiating, a gentleman over there, a very smart person, set up a temporary IP trap. And he had it, it took him a while, but he was able to trap the IP numbers. And he saw people from Japan logging into our state system to bill for CCAP.
Japan.
And that's all documented.
Oh.
And evidence is at the DHS lab, and Bennett probably has evidence of it. So that case, because we suspected that lady had ties to terrorism, we could only get her on wire fraud. We couldn't get her on anything more from that because the system wasn't designed to detect fraud.
Thank you. So do you know if the DHS...
This is Kristen Robbins.
That temporary trap was only, I think, up from my reading a couple weeks.
Two weeks.
Yes. So does DHS now have the capability to track IP addresses?
I do not know. I don't know. After the time, by the time I left, I was told no. But what's happened in the last 7 to 8 years, I don't know.
So why would the system be set up without that ability when it's kind of standard on most computers?
I would be hesitant to give an answer to that.
Okay. So we turned the system on to make sure that the money was going where we wanted it to. That's my interpretation of what we have going on there. Honest, you guys, like there are, I know that when you listen to talk radio all day long, you get some weird theories, some crazy conspiracy ideas being planted. I don't know what else you need to hear to know that criminal activity is going on in Minnesota. There is no way that this system would have been designed without a way to figure out what computer is accessing that money or requesting that money. I did a little research on this to ask some questions about how uncommon it would be for this tracking technology to be disabled. One IT guy said, I've been in enterprise IT for more than 30 years. I've developed several websites over the years for my own businesses. Every website you visit tracks your IP address. That's helpful information for a ton of reasons. Netflix, for example, uses it to determine whether content you paid for. Is it available to you? It's also why if you use a VPN, you get ads and content for that region. Choosing not to capture that information is, at the very least, ridiculously bad website design. It's also a great way to allow backdoor fraudulent transactions. You think? I don't even know. Literally, this leaves me speechless. That doesn't happen too often. When we come back, Ag Director Bridget Riedel, what's going on the farm? Dr. Matt Eaton is known for advanced training and passion for restoring smiles. It's care you can trust from the very first visit you make to Dakota Implant and Sedation Center in Fargo. Every step clearly explained, every decision based on what's right for you. And you know what? There's flexible financing options available. That's always handy. It's a thoughtful, patient-focused approach at Dakota Implant and Sedation Center in Fargo. What if your smile doesn't take months to restore? What if it can be done in a very short amount of time? You can start smiling, living your best life. Dakota Dental Implant and Sedation Center in Fargo. Go to DakotaImplant.com and smile like you mean it. Well, I smile like I mean it every time I get to talk to my friend Bridget Riedel. She's our farm director here at Fieldstone Grooflag Family Media. And if she has anything of a voice left, I'm going to be very impressed. Oh, look at you. She does.
Yep, there's a bit left in
look
there.
Look at you after the big farm show, the radio farm show on WDAY radio yesterday down the hall. It was a procession of people. I'm telling you, we had a pretty good crowd in here yesterday, Bridget.
You know, when you are going to be on air for 8.5 hours-ish, somewhere in there, you want to make sure that it is attention-getting, educational, entertaining. And I think we hit every one of those.
And that
criteria.
You don't have to talk the whole time. That also helps. Yeah.
You know, backed up by just experts in their field who wanted to share whether we were talking about machinery. And by machinery, we were looking at new equipment, especially new planters and tractors versus what's going on at auction these days. Mm. What happened to that equipment if the EPA does roll back diesel emission fluid standards, the DEF fluid, and what does that do to change what you're buying or what you might be selling at an auction as well? So buy new to sell. Great discussion with livestock. In fact, is particularly focusing on the beef market. I have already been asked if I could have each one of those guys back independently on Weather and Ag in Focus. Mm. So we have one day with one speaker, one day with the next, et cetera, so that we could hear each of them one more time.
It was that good.
Oh. It was that good. The farmer panel, which was the most requested new segment, was asked to support. That went over fabulously. Had great people, well thought out, well spoken professionals in the industry. We also had our friends, folks like North Dakota State Services, North Dakota Farm Bureau, and Wealth Financial Wealth Solutions join us to talk about farmer health,
yep.
farmer financial health.
Yep.
And that is our most requested return from our previous farm show.
Yeah, big deal. It's a really big deal. Everybody's trying to figure out how to squeeze and stretch a little bit these days. Yeah.
And how do I push it down the line? If I want to have this legacy and this heritage, how do I get it to the next generation? What should I be doing now? Fair does not always mean equal when it comes to heirs and assets.
Yeah.
And let's not forget about your health, because with so many things that have changed within healthcare in the last couple of years, North Dakota Farm Bureau wants to talk about health plans with you because they can be of service to farms.
Well, and it's getting harder and harder to find rural health care.
Yes.
You know, and so that's a big deal too. And we've got a lot of listeners out in that Carrington area, New Rockford, out that direction. And, you know, for them, you know, finding a local grocery store, a local doctor, local vet, all those things are getting harder and harder in some of those more remote areas. So, all right. So let me ask you this, young lady. What did you learn yesterday? I'm sure there were a lot of conversations on a lot of different things, but anything that you heard that made you go, huh, okay, maybe I kind of knew part of that, but I didn't know all of that. Anything that jumped out?
Two things. One of them is I lucked out completely by having two assistant ag directors return to help me out for the day, brought to us by Cass County Farm Bureau. They were phenomenal. Professionals, our clients and sponsors, who, as well as our guests who were involved yesterday, were so impressed by those college students who came in and helped run the show, interview guests, and just made great connections and networking. Second thing, when we did our hour on farmer entrepreneurs, we were talking about 3D printing. And your mind first goes to plastics.
Yeah.
But one of the fastest growing areas for new tools in a farm shop is actually that 3D printer. And it's not just about plastics anymore. They're talking about aluminum, stainless steel. So the things that you can print with that are useful on the farm for wear parts, et cetera, is tremendous.
Oh, my
and
gosh,
the capabilities and possibilities are expanding every week.
Where'd I put that fabulous hitch pin anyway? All right, fire up the printer. We'll make our own.
I broke a nozzle on my sprayer. Can I actually print one of those?
Ooh, a sprayer nozzle.
I plugged a nozzle.
Yeah.
You know, great ideas, like almost a half a funnel size system. So when you're changing the bogey wheels on your planter and you've got nuts and bolts and fluids and so forth, how do I keep that from just splattering everywhere and making a mess?
Yeah. Well, bolts, there's another one, right? I mean, how often are you looking for a bolt? No, I need a 3/4. No, that's not going to work. And you got check that bucket over there. You're spending all morning finding a bolt, and then you got to run to town to find it. So I get it. All of those things. And if you can start making those with, you know, cast iron or steel or whatever, well, now you're cooking with gas.
And just new ideas and opportunities. And we have farmers are probably the best inventors and entrepreneurs that you can imagine. They are diversifying their farms. They are finding new talents, and they're not only doing it for their operations, but for others around them. And so just a great day. I want to make sure to say thank you to everyone who listened, who sent us questions, who gave us feedback and comments, and certainly for those guests and our sponsors who are part of a big day.
Who were your, where were your cattle guys from?
Really, we picked a broad spectrum. Josh Alsager with Alsager Meats right here in this region, especially a great example of someone who is not only producing his own beef, but processing it right to the consumer. Mm-hmm. We then talked with Casey Heenan. Casey is with South Dakota Cattlemen's Association, but he's got a background in operating feedlots down in southern South Dakota. And we're talking, you know, there's not 100 cattle, 100 head on this. We're talking thousands of
head.
Yeah,
I bet.
You know, he's very close to discussions like what's happening with that JBS strike at the packing plant in Colorado. What did the wildfires in Nebraska do to herd numbers? And then we included Greg Hansen with Hansen Agri Commodities. He's in southern Minnesota. Granted, he normally deals in grains and marketing for the grain, but also he'll talk forward contracting on livestock. He has that geopolitical spectrum that he can speak to. is what's happening in Iran, Argentina, Venezuela, any of that global process, how's that affecting our beef supply, demand, and herd numbers right here in the States?
Yeah, interesting stuff. That's a good one. I was doing other things. I couldn't listen. People always say, like, oh, did you hear that great thing on the radio? I'm like, I wish I could. But, you know, it's hard to, because our stuff is so good. When you start talking farming with people like that, like, I'm not going to get anything else done. So I got to go back and listen. I want to listen to that one because that's interesting. I grew up on a hog and cattle farm and just kind of hearing what's going on right there. So let me ask you, we all know about the Strait of Hormuz and diesel and fuel and fertilizer or whatever. Were there any new elements to that conversation that come up other than the obvious storylines? I mean, we all know the general concerns with all of that, but was there any kind of nuance or kind of attitudes that you picked up on that were different than you might have expected from that stuff?
So one thing, I want to speak to the point that you said about being able to go back and watch. Anyone can. It is fully recorded. You can go watch it on our WDAY page on YouTube and Facebook, and you can see what we were talking about, literally see the visuals. Two, what are we hearing? You know, what's changing, right? Are we hearing the same storylines continuing? Two things that I heard there. One, when you ask farmers in this region, is it as doom and gloom as we are consistently told? The truth to that is it's not great, but there are still bright spots and we're still going to plant a crop and move forward for 2026. And there's optimism within what those farmers are talking about. Secondly, probably the factor that we think about the least is our transportation costs. Yeah. We're concerned about our price of beef and even pork and chicken. But when you got diesel that's jumped up a buck in 30 days, your transportation costs, you got to haul live animals in for slaughter and then bring that frozen product back out and wherever else it's going. That's tacking on dollars that you aren't considering.
Yeah.
And that's probably the greatest increase that we're going to see right now in our cost of food inflation is transportation costs.
Well, and what's difficult with that, Bridget, is we all keep thinking, okay, this war is probably going to end fairly soon. It probably isn't going to go past 2 months because then Congress has to approve everything and it's hard to think that they'll get together on anything these days. So we keep thinking, okay, maybe it's going to be today, tomorrow, whatever. And then we hear that 10,000 more troops are heading over. It's a moving target. So those guys and ladies who are trying to figure out the math on this for their operations, they don't know what to plan for.
That's exactly right. How long could this stretch out? We don't know.
Right.
And what impacts will it have? I think we're going to be finding that out on probably an every 30-day basis. Really, what the difference will be.
Adjusting as we go.
We can look at a corn price right now. We can look at a corn planting for 2026 and say, I probably have my inputs. I've forward contracted. I have a pretty good handle on where I'm going with the corn market for this season.
Yeah.
What about 27? Ooh, that's a crapshoot right now because right back to those energy costs, you know, that impacts our fertilizer. Even if you're not using anhydrous ammonia, ammonia gets used in the production of so many other components.
Yeah.
That's what's probably driving your cost too.
Yeah, interesting. Hey, I want to ask you a little bit of a math question. And sorry, you were told there would be no math, but then,
you came
on the Steve Show. help me think this through now. So Doug Goring, the Ag Secretary here in North Dakota, or the Ag Commissioner, I guess we call him, said that their data shows that 70% of farmers in North Dakota were profitable last year, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that to me, I was like, oh, that's maybe a little better than I thought. But then I started thinking, that probably doesn't, like in typical accounting, you have your true revenue, then your true expenses, and then you get your whatever, your net operating income or net ordinary income, whatever it's called. But that doesn't mean that's your cash flow because your debt payments and your loan payments mm-hmm. then are made after that. So my guess is that number of people who actually cash flowed positively is probably a little bit lower than the 70% because, yeah, you could show a little bit of a net income for the year, but if you're paying, and some of these operators, right, are paying what? I mean, tens, hundreds of thousands of dollars a year in some of their
interest.
Loan payments. Yeah, and interest. So my guess is that the numbers aren't really as rosy in cash flow as the accounting numbers would lead you to believe. Am I on something or am I onto something there?
You can look profitable on your farm, but where does your family living expense fall? Did you make profit on the farm, but you had nothing left over for family living?
Yeah, right.
So I think that's probably part of that accounting factor that we have to think
mm-hmm.
about. What really helps us in North Dakota to look profitable, how many people have cattle, those diversified operations? because that's the bright spot. I can tell you, even my home farm has said, boy, howdy, if it wasn't for cows the last couple of years, this would be a very different picture. So that's, if you have that diversification, that's making a big difference for you. I think a telltale sign of where we're headed was that the Industrial Commission increased the amount of dollars for those farmer short-term bridge payments in the state because more people decided to either take advantage of it or just needed to take advantage.
Yeah, yeah, good stuff. And that's why you're seeing more animal ag projects being talked about. People are saying, hey, I need some way to diversify so I'm not just all corn and soybeans. And there's a lot of that going on, too.
And Bridget, can we increase the price by selling the feed?
There you go. It all works together. Hey, great stuff, my friend. Great to visit with you. Thanks again for all your great work yesterday. It was really phenomenal, and we'll all go back and listen to parts of that show coming up later. Have a great weekend, Bridget.
You as well. Thank you.
The one and only Bridget Riedel. Who is the Marine being buried today at Fargo's National Cemetery? Have you noticed how many Vision Fords and Vision Lincolns you're seeing here in Fargo-Moorhead, West Fargo? There's a reason for that, because they are doing car sales, truck sales, SUV sales like nobody else is doing them. You're in and out in 15 minutes with the paperwork done and enjoying that new set of wheels. When it comes to service, they've got mobile crews that'll come do an oil change on site. Or if you got to bring it back to the shop, they'll come and get your vehicle from Wahpeton in Fargo, in West Fargo, wherever, and bring it back down and get it done for you and bring it back when it's done. They're thinking differently because they're trying to do it differently and give you a different experience. And it's working. That's why you're seeing so many Vision Fords, and especially the Lincolns here in the metro area. Online at drivewithvision.com, drivewithvision.com. I want to take a minute before we finish up the show today to tell you who Susan Benson is. She's the Marine being buried today at Fargo's National Cemetery. And we heard a couple of days ago, I just saw it this morning as I was kind of preparing our news summary for today. Heard a little bit about this person who is going to be honored today. The service is going to start in about 10 minutes in Fargo. Susan Benson served in the U.S. Marine Corps as a private from 1958 to 1960. But when she died recently, she was categorized as what's called an unclaimed veteran. And that makes me sad. There's so much conversation about, no, human being is illegal, you know. Well, how about someone being unclaimed? This is going to be a final salute today. She's a veteran who had no family present to claim her remains. What a sad story. Because she was what they call an unclaimed veteran, the public record of her life is lean. But I found a few things today from Veterans Affairs Department and the Honor Guard. She was a member of a pioneering generation of women in the military. She enlisted in the U.S. Marine Corps in 1958. At that time, women in the Marines, often called WMs, were a small elite group. They were not integrated in the general corps in the same way they are today. Her final years were spent in the Fargo-Moorhead area, but she was originally from Minneapolis. She eventually moved to North Dakota, where she lived out her later years before passing away recently. Because no next of kin could be located, the Fargo National Cemetery and local veterans organization stepped in to ensure she received a dignified military burial. This is going to be hard for me not to get choked up here about this. I mean, just think about that. She served our country, and not, you know, 100 years and went to, you know, 8 different theaters of war, but she served our country at a time when most women didn't. And at the end of her life, there was nobody to claim her remains. And so in steps Fargo National Cemetery, veterans organizations, to make sure she gets a dignified military burial. While her discharge papers are private, there's a common historical reason why women of that era served shorter terms. In 1959 and 1960, the regulations for women were very strict in the military. Women were automatically discharged if they got married or became pregnant. They were also discharged if a family member became ill and they were needed at home. The military viewed their civilian roles as primary. And at the time, the Marine Corps used 1-year evaluative periods for many junior enlisted women. So you had to meet the grade. I don't know if we do that today even. The fact that she served as a private and received an honorable discharge entitles her to the full military honors being displayed today. Don't lose sight of that either. An honorable discharge. The North Dakota Patriot Guard and Fargo National Cemetery specialized teams are presiding over the 11 a.m. service. That's pretty cool. And nobody who served our country in whatever way they served, who made that decision, who signed that paper and said, yes, I want to serve the country, nobody who does that for us should be forgotten at the end of life. And so thank you to those local organizations doing that today. All right, we got a couple minutes left. Let's go to Dana. He's on the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line. Good morning, Dana.
Hey, good morning, Steve, and everyone else. Say the deal with Minnesota. They don't have the IP addresses on there because they don't want anyone to know what's going on.
Yeah, they turned the system on for 2 weeks to make sure that all the people were getting money that were supposed to, and then they turned it back off.
Hurry up before they find out.
Hurry up before they find out. You're 100% right.
And then on the fuel and the fertilizer, we can make the fertilizer right here, you know. We don't need to get it from the Middle East. And the Strait of Hormuz has got nothing to do with our oil supplies here. We get less than 1% there. And even President Trump said we don't need it.
Yeah.
So I got this idea. You big companies, I know you don't like to cut your costs or your what you make. Sell it to Europe for the high price. Give us the bargain, and let's get America rolling along on the good side of things.
I like it. Yeah, I like it. It's a worldwide market, but yeah, it's always seemed weird to me that we're producing, you know, pretty much what we need here, and yet our prices go up. It's a strange deal.
Well, one more thing, Steve.
Yeah, you got 10 seconds, my friend.
On the TSE, the government's been shut down for a third of a year. That's $31 million we wasted spending them for nothing. Give it to TSA.
Yeah, yep, right on. Thanks, Dana. Have a good weekend, my friend. Thank you. And thanks to you for listening and being part of the show here this week. Coming up, the What's on Your Mind program. Scotty's in Washington, D.C. Lots of good stuff happening there, and we'll be filling you in on the What's on Your Mind program. Have a great day, my friend. Have a great week. Thanks for being with me here today on the show. And keep on flying that flag.